Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. St. Paul's epistle, which we heard this morning, calls us into our current time, our current challenge. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do not be weary in doing right. Our election this past Tuesday and the handful of days which have followed it reveal how close to gridlock our national people are. Trump's election has elated some Americans and caused other Americans to despair. And the volatile, contentious election cycle has magnified the mood of both those who celebrate and those who lost. This week, our national life has felt stretched, uncertain, a little chaotic. Both the election cycle and the election itself confirmed that we're more divided around social politics and economic strategies and the importance of race and gender than many of us might have thought we were 2 years ago. This week, family members have been alienated from each other, and some Facebook friends have defriended other Facebook friends. And some school communities and neighborhoods are in painful disorder. We've all felt the elation, the distress, the intensity, and the confusion. We're living in a complex moment of human history, of American history. And what each of us chooses to do will matter. Paul's epistle stretches out across the millennium and calls out to us, brothers and sisters, do not weary in doing what is right. As we slowly discern what is right and what is right to do, as we discern the time and talent and treasure we need to offer to our God and offer to our world, our discernment is made easier when we remember that as Christians, we are citizens not of one country, but of two. We who are baptized into Christ's death and resurrection belong to the kingdom of heaven, and we are citizens of heaven, in addition to being citizens of the United States of America. And as citizens of heaven, we already know some profound truths about how to live a life that brings honor to God and honor to ourselves. And one of the most important rules for citizens of heaven is revealed in our baptism, when we commit ourselves to respecting the human dignity of all people. A priest will ask us in that liturgy, will you respect the dignity of every human being? And we reply, I will with God's help. There is no room for demonizing the opposition or for scorning or ridiculing or hating people who are different than we are in the kingdom of God. Part of being God's children requires us to listen to people and engage with people who are extremely different from us. Just as the veterans of our country defended the freedom of all of us, whether they agreed with our personal opinions or not, kingdom people are called to practice respecting the dignity of every person, whether we agree with them or not. Unity and not uniformity is a kingdom value. Our Christian convictions also call us to love our neighbors as ourselves, to use our empathy, our curiosity, our creativity to serve and love people whose lives somehow get mixed up with ours. Maybe they're our family or our extended family, or our friends or our schoolmates or our community members. We do not have to like them. We do not have to like them. But we need to love them with an approximation of the love with which Jesus loved us, a free, generous, life-giving love, which genuinely hopes for the fullness of life for the other person. A secular friend of mine put it this way: I have to love my life so much that I can love you so much that you can love you so much that you can love me. Love and respect are transitive and transforming. Examples of this kind of love pop up in more places than you might expect when you start looking for them. 6 months ago, I was shocked to discover that a Starbucks ad in the Wall Street Journal had a profound sense of this life-giving love that we see modeled in Jesus. The ad, which took up an entire page of newsprint, features a Starbucks logo and then two huge columns of words. One on one side of the page moving down in a column, and one on the right. And the words moving down the page on the left are these words: division, cynicism, isolating, apathy, despair, blame, exclusion, cowardice, fear, indifference, and bystander. And in the column on the right side of the page, in big bold font, just as large as the other words on the left, are these words: unity, optimism, community, opportunity, possibility, inclusion, responsibility, respect, courage, love, compassion, and the word upstander. And then in small words written at the very bottom of the page, it says, every day we have a choice. Every day we have a choice. I think that Starbucks ad is a secular invitation to pursue what is right with boldness, even if we can't tell what the specific outcome is going to be, or whether or not it will convince anyone else to follow us. I think that Starbucks ad is a secular version of the utopian community that our prophet Isaiah speaks about in our Hebrew scripture this morning, where wolves and lambs feed together, not on each other. Where wolves and lambs feed together, and pain and sorrow are no more, and where finally everyone has enough to eat and a home of their own. We know kingdom values when we hear them, and we are called to live them out. And God promises that God will walk with us over and over again as we practice getting them right. I wish I could tell you that Isaiah's dreams and Starbucks' vision and Jesus' call to us were easy to accomplish, but all of us are old enough to know that good work and right work is often challenging and sometimes dangerous. Our steady, steely New England character instinctively knows that almost anything worth accomplishing is going to be hard to accomplish. So instead, I want to ask you to practice kingdom values with me and to practice praying with me. And specifically this morning, I want us to practice and pray for the Wellesley College women both the women in our congregation and the women who don't know us but who are our neighbors. And I want to ask your prayers for two young men from Babson College. And I'm asking for your prayers because if you don't know yet, on Thursday, two Babson students, driving a truck and waving political signs, roared into Wellesley's campus uninvited, parked their truck, got out, and proceeded to shout racist statements and spit upon an African-American student. Police were called, and the young men were ejected from the campus, but ugly racist behavior now clouds what was already a very difficult day for many of our Wellesley neighbors. The New York Times reported the story on Friday, and by Saturday morning, radios were announcing that the president of Babson College had called the president of Wellesley College and apologized for their behavior. And the Babson students are in the process of being disciplined, and the Wellesley students are in the process of having their health and well-being attended to. So in that event, right action was required on the part of many people, on students and administrators and police officers. And the healing from that experience will be an ongoing one. And I want our Wellesley students here today and all the women at Wellesley to know that we stand with them in honoring their uniqueness and their dignity and their talent that carried them to Wellesley and that they share so generously with us. And I appreciate you adding your prayers to mine for them and for the Babson students. When communities are stretched and uncertain and chaotic, this kind of ugly behavior can be produced. And people of faith need a zero tolerance for demeaning behavior, even if we still make room to recognize the humanity of the perpetrators and pray for them. With the promise of Isaiah's vision and the model of Jesus' love for us before us this morning, I also want to ask you to be prayerful for our nation. We need a nation that finds room to listen carefully to each other. And we need a nation that remains resilient and strong as we begin a transition between two presidents of strongly different styles and strongly different political opinions. Prayer can be very hard work. It's not always inspiring, but the process is worth it. And it's so important for us to lift our hopes and our prayers for our country to God. Democracy can be hard, and it's not always inspiring either. But it's the best form of government that's ever existed on the planet. And our country has often had a remarkable capacity to do good and create good for its own inhabitants and for the inhabitants of the world. And I pray that we keep our visions and our hopes for our country intact. And I pray that we muster good faith for all of our fellow citizens, whether they are like us or very different. Brothers and sisters, says St. Paul, do not grow weary in doing what is right. Amen.